This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
There's no doubt about it. It's a day and a time, because it certainly stretched over more than just one fateful Tuesday morning 10 years ago. But it has in many ways marked our history ever since. The 10 years since in America have been lived in the shadow of two towers that haven't stood for those 10 years. The people who died there, the planes that went down, and our conflict suddenly brought into high relief with Islamic terrorism worldwide. It has been a time of unceasing war. There's no doubt about that. The wars that were begun there, or that were made necessary by that event, have not yet ended and really show no sign of abating in the near future. And one wonders what lessons we have learned, if there are lessons to be learned, from the 9/11 attacks, especially the cultural impact of 9/11. Ever since that day, we have been keeping regular tabs with Dr. Gene Edward Veith and getting his thoughts on this. He has actually written a tremendous book called Christianity in an Age of Terrorism, and he joins us for his thoughts 10 years after the 9/11 attacks. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. Dr. Veith, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you again.
Everyone has one, but tell us, if you would, your 9/11 story, how you learned and experienced those attacks 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, I was teaching an English lit class at Concordia Mequon in Wisconsin, and I was just coming to class, and there's buzzing in the hallways, and people had brought up some TVs, rolled them up, and we were watching what had happened, those towers falling. And anyway, we did that for a while, but we needed to get on with class, so we went back to our lesson, and we were studying for that day Beowulf, and we were reading about these people who had erected this huge mead hall to celebrate their greatness, and then a monster came to the mead hall and broke in and was wreaking destruction. Grendel invading these people's feast hall and creating havoc in this great hall they'd created. But anyway, the parallels with what we had just seen on TV, the fall of the World Trade Center, the intrusion of this evil thing that was just so unimaginable to us breaking in. It was just stunning, those parallels.
10 years later, you have watched the culture carefully in those 10 years, what do you think we have learned, and what do you think we haven't yet learned?
Well, you know, what most of us really remember in those about 9/11 and the days just after it was the way the nation came together, the way we were pulling together. We all felt attack. We all felt for the victims of the attack and the people who were working hard to help them. There's a great sense of national unity. That's certainly gone. That didn't last long. I was thinking that this may be the end of postmodernism. It seems that every new era in our Western thought comes with the collapse of a building. It's been said that the beginnings of the modern era started with the fall of the Bastille, with the French Revolution, and the destruction of that building marked the end of the pre-modern period. And then the fall of the Berlin Wall, some people say, marked the end of the modern era. And I was really thinking that after the World Trade Center came down, that maybe marked the end of the postmodern era, because all of a sudden people were talking about moral absolutes. They were talking about good and evil. They were talking about that maybe all religions weren't all the same after all. And it was really a reversion to a very different kind of national mood, and you saw it among artists and intellectuals and writers and everyone. But that didn't last, and very soon we just reverted almost to a extreme extreme postmodernism as an effect, that isn't just that all religions are the same. Before, they would say, postmodernists would say all religions are equally good. Now, after 9/11, it's all religions are equally bad. And Christianity became lumped in with radical Islam as terrible forces of intolerance. And so I think that one of the legacies of 9/11, although, again, we lost that that sense of national unity, that reversion, maybe that sort of wake-up experience to some realities that we'd been ignoring for a long time, that unfortunately didn't last. And instead, we've got kind of an extreme, more virulent version of the kind of thinking we had before 9/11.
Along with it, and this was pointed out recently on our program by Pastor Bill Swirla, and I hadn't really thought of it this way, but once he said it, it was so obvious. He says that the more radical, outspoken, kind of hostile atheism of the so-called new atheists, they were born on 9/11, he says. Mm. Their interpretation of 9/11 has been that Christianity and religion in general, but Christianity in particular, really has to go. It's the source of our problems. Yeah. And they've been arguing, as you know, in best-selling books for the last 10 years, that very point.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant insight. And I think that's right. Again, instead of seeing the content of the different religions and seeing how different they are from each other and seeing that some may be good and true and others are wrong and bad, this idea that all religions are equally the same, if the terrorists are Muslim fundamentalists, then every fundamentalist or every conservative Christian or every believer of any kind becomes associated with a terrorist and thus become, you know, the enemy of everything that civilization stands for. And I think that climate has been a result of 9/11.
So did one of the impulses after 9/11, since religion was brought so much to the fore, and since these kind of national tragedies do strike a religious chord, even with the most a-religious of Americans, we all kind of become religious, for at least for a time. One of the impulses was, look, we all have to stand together, not only as citizens, but as religions. Did Christianity do itself any favors when, in various venues, Christians stood side by side with many other world religions, wittingly or unwittingly, giving the impression that we were all calling upon the same God?
Yes, isn't that something? The old modernist ecumenical movement is trying to get all Christians together, and the postmodern one is to get all religions together. And that's exactly what happened with 9/11, Christians and Muslims and Hindus and everyone praying together as if to the same God. But again, how ironic, because by associating Christianity with those other religions in this big interfaith movement, all religions are one, that means that in the reaction against all religion, including Islam, the radical Islam, that Christianity is going to be pulled down too. And that's exactly what has happened.
What do you think, we've talked about kind of the general culture's take on 9/11 in the last 10 years have been. What do you think the church's take has been, and how do you evaluate that in the last decade?
Well, I think that the church has been very used to being popular and had been doing things to get more and more popular. And with a cultural change, so the Christianity is not popular, a lot of churches have had difficulty dealing with that or accepting that and wanting to become more and more, throwing out their identity to try to get more and more attractive to people. But then, to the point that they become the same as the culture, and there's no reason the culture should pay any attention to them. I think that's one thing. I think that maybe in a more positive way, among other, in another strain, I think American civil religion has taken a big hit. And this is probably a good thing in many ways. before 9/11, you know, the civil religion, which was mostly Christianity, but purged of anything redemptive or of Christ or the scripture, but the idea there's one God, and as Americans, we're all united under one God, and so on. That's always been problematic because it isn't Christian, and yet that's has been the religion for many Americans. And after 9/11, I think we realized with all the interfaith that civil religion has to include more than just Christianity, more than just churches. And so you had this new kind of interfaith approach to things. And I think that has made a number of Christians sort of wake up to how wrong that is and to see that really, although we, you know, love our country and we have a calling as citizens and so on, that really our faith must not be confused with that, which is very different than the way Islam is. Islam, the faith permeates the culture and the state, and it's all about extending Islamic law. And again, Christianity is so radically different from that. I do think there are some Christians who now, I think the civil religion has changed, and the civil religion is probably weaker than it's ever been before. But again, from a standpoint of biblical Christianity, that's a good thing.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. He's provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and author of the book Christianity in an Age of Terrorism. When we come back, some more conversation with him 10 years after the 9/11 attacks. We're talking about the cultural impact of those attacks. I want his thoughts on the death of Osama bin Laden. I think everyone had hoped at the beginning it would have come sooner, and even though it came almost 10 years after the attacks he claimed responsibility for, people had hoped for it to be some kind of a bookend on that dark era in our history. But I don't sense a lot of closure, even with the death of the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. We'll see what Dr. Veith thinks after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog, exchange recipes, or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Dr. Gene Edward Veith talking about the cultural impact of the 9/11 terrorist attacks on this Wednesday afternoon.
Well, we've had them up at the website for a while now, and actually our listeners had been asking for something like this for several years, a way for our listeners to promote issues, etc. And finally, we came up with the two best ways we could think of. One is an Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. It's just a simple 8.5 by 11 that you can download and print off and take to your church, really any bulletin board. Put it up, and it helps promote Issues Etc. The other is the Issues Etc. business card, and that is found pinned to a page right at the same spot, issuesetc.org. Click support. You download, you print it off. If you're going to carry it around like a business card, just print it on suitable stock. We have lines you can cut along. It's a standard size. Put it in your wallet, put it in your purse. And the great thing about the business card is it has all the contact information that anybody needs. So if someone asks you about it, or if you get into a conversation, said you heard something on Issues Etc., they say, "What's Issues Etc.?" Reach in, pull it out, and hand them the Issues Etc. business card. And you've said everything that needs to be said. Issuesetc.org. Click support. Thanks for helping promote Issues Etc. Dr. Veith, I want your thoughts on the death of Osama bin Laden. I think a lot of people had hoped that it would come much sooner, but it came almost 10 years after the attacks that he claimed responsibility for. A lot had hoped that it would act as a bookend on the event itself to bring some kind of closure for us culturally to what 9/11 had wrought in our culture. But I don't know. It's been a couple months now. I don't sense any real closure. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it should have been closure, and it could have been closure. But I read an article just yesterday about the fact that now, after 9/11, we have entered upon a period of endless war. Endless war. That before, we would have periods of peace, then we'd have war, then we'd have peace again. And war was kind of the anomaly. That was the unusual thing, and we'd get back to peace as soon as we could. But now, since 9/11, 10 years ago, we've been fighting wars, and we still are. And as far as we can see, that will continue, and not maybe the kind of wars we used to fight, but the predator drones are flying above countries ready to zap our enemies, and it's a continual thing. And the scary part is that the wars that were unleashed by 9/11, I think that after 9/11, we were so angry, and we wanted to hit back at someone. So we did. We struck Afghanistan, and we took that country in an incredibly short time. But our desire for revenge was not fully met. And then before long, we had a war in Iraq, and that's been going on. And then our victory in Afghanistan didn't really change the people much, so that came back. And now in Libya and all over the world, there are these things to worry about. And so I think it's ushered in a new era of war and a new way of even thinking of war, and even just accepting war is just part of the way things have to be, that keeps us from ever getting over what happened at 9/11. And that's really a very sad thing.
You mentioned Libya, and I think we'll need a little historical perspective on this with maybe another 10 years to look back. But what was last year, beginning of this year, the Arab Spring became the Arab Summer, and now it's the Arab Fall, and who knows what historians will actually call it. But the Arab and in this case, largely Islamic world of the Middle East has been falling apart or undergoing some kind of a revolution. What do you make of that? Is that connected to 9/11?
Well, I think so. I mean, the Arab world was very stable for some time, but the oppressive governments and so on is outbreeding the revolutionaries, and their ideology became radical Islam, that then they're turning against what the West and against modernity and everything, and that in their desire to rebuild a kind of Islamic golden age. But our tendency is to always project ourselves onto the people that we look at. And when we see the Arab Spring and the revolutions in Libya and Egypt, we immediately think of, oh, good, democracy, freedom against oppression, And we look at them in those ways. Whereas, I hope that's some of it, that's an element there. But another element is radical Islam, throwing off the worldly rulers to institute a pure society based on Islamic law. That's a faction, too. And so the Islamic world is still developing. It is in an uproar. And exactly what it's going to look like is not clear at all. And it may well be continuing empowering of the radical Muslims, the same ideology that attacked us on 9/11. So this is by no means over, and it's not clear exactly how it's going to pan out.
You write in your book, Christianity in an Age of Terrorism, about the worldview of the terrorist. You say that they are collectivists, that they are self-identified victims, that they do not believe in objective morality, and they do not believe in objective reason. Have we come to grips with that way of thinking, even 10 years after our biggest encounter with the terrorism mindset?
Well, I don't think so. And, you know, you could argue that a lot of that is the way the West had started to think, and maybe still does or still will. That's a very postmodernist kind of stance. I mean, we think of the Islamic radicals in terms of kind of, you know, the Dark Ages, but really many of them were educated in Western universities and could resonate with what they had been taught about the illegitimacy of Western structures and Western philosophy, Western ideals. And, you know, they claim to be very, very moral and to have this high view of the law of Allah, but in practice, it's a relativism, you know, high moral standard for them, for in a kind of theoretical way in their beliefs, but it allows them to kill civilians and kill innocent people and even kill their own people. So, yeah, this collectivism, you know, instead of looking at people as individuals just by what group they belong to, and if they belong to the wrong group or to an enemy group, then they're fair game, ignoring their individual reality as human beings. Again, that's something that we just take for granted in the West, although there have been signs that we, too, sometimes start thinking in those ways, and just in terms of somebody's race or ethnic group or political party or whatever. And again, these are worldview issues that face all of us today, including, you know, Americans, including modern, sophisticated, high-tech Americans. We've been pulled in some of those directions too. What we see with the terrorists is just how horrible that really is when you live out the implications of those beliefs.
With about 30 seconds here, Dr. Veith, what do you think we'll be saying 10 years from now on the 20th anniversary of 9/11?
Well, I think that we're getting sort of fatigue, grief fatigue, outrage fatigue, war fatigue. And I think that this is so exhausting. I'm hoping that in another 10 years, we'll get beyond it, that we'll start being allowed to wear keep our shoes on when we go into an airplane, that we can stop being so frightened of everything that could possibly happen and start finally finding a return to a kind of a normal existence as much as possible. So I'm hoping there won't be such a big deal in the next 10 years. But then again, it could be the other way, that this may be just the opening chapter in a continuing and even accelerating kind of conflict.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, author of the book Christianity in an Age of Terrorism. You can purchase this book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Christianity in an Age of Terrorism by our guest, Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Ed, thank you very much.
Okay, glad to be with you.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this September 7th
Wednesday afternoon. We're going to spend the first few minutes getting an update on the current legal status, the Prop 8 in California that would have banned same-sex marriage in that state and probably had repercussions for the rest of the states, has been moving through the digestive tract of the California legal system for some time now. The question before the California Supreme Court has to do with whether or not those who were first proponents, architects of Prop 8, before it was passed by a majority of the electorate in California, now have legal standing to defend the law against legal challenges, since the past governor and the current governor of that state have refused to defend that law. So will they get standing? And if they don't, what happens to Prop 8 and what happens to the subject of same-sex marriage in the rest of the country? Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us in an hour or two, and then we'll be talking with Dr. Al Culver of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled St. Michael and All Angels about angels. I'm Todd Wilkin. More of Issues Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.